Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadik Bynum, along with my co-host. Okay, I don't have my co-host on here yet, but again, welcome to the show. Again, this is Bilal Bynum. This is Black Belt Wall Street Business Association Blog Talk Radio. And we're glad to have our special guest speakers tonight are going to be from the Black Farmers Association. And we have several special guests that we're going to be bringing on to speak with us. I'll open up one of them as we speak as right now. And I should be asking if we have Brother Robert
Benyon.
Brother Benyon, are you okay? I know you're with us because you just responded. Welcome to the show.
Yes,
brother.
I am. I'm with you.
Okay, and we're going to give it a few moments, and we'll be getting started, allowing our guests to call in, so you have a pretty good audience to speak to. So we'll be opening up here in just a few moments. I'm waiting on some of my co-hosts to come on also, but we will be getting started here in just a few moments. So again, this is our New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street. And I am your host, Bilal Masadik Bynum. I will just tell you that it was my pleasure working with all of our guest speakers tonight. I met all of them when they were doing a demonstration, a march, in front of the White House. And that march, I learned so much about what was happening with the black farmers and how the land that is being lost from our black farmers all over the country, especially all over the South, they're losing lands by the thousands. And I will have our guests certainly will be making comments on that tonight. So again, our Black Farmers Association, let me just say this, brothers and sisters and our listeners, just think for one moment, if our black farmers was receiving the monies that they've been denied for so many years, if we was if our farmers was receiving the appropriate amount of monies that was given to white, that was given to Ukraine and many other white nations and what have you. If our black farmers had been treated just as well, our black farmers could be highly productive with their farming production. And if we had that farming production in our communities, then, of course, now those farmers not only are providing food that is bringing in revenues, but those revenues that they're bringing in could create many, many other businesses in our communities, such as supermarkets and what have you, and the many jobs that would come from all of the other different businesses they would be able to create from the produce of what they're producing from the soil. And of course, what we know as Black Wall Street, what we know as the black soil, before it was, and the black soil, of course, started with Americans, with Europeans coming to America, and it was called at that time the black soil, and the black soil is where they bought in all of the slaves into this country was placed into the black soil. The black soil ranged all the way from Texas to Virginia, but you would have to include Maryland and Delaware because they were also states that were slave and these slave owners and the production that these slaves and produced from the black soil made the United States the richest country in the world, and it's been that way ever since they bought slaves into this country. So again, if we could continue the production as free societies, and we could continue this production from our African-American black farmers, that riches, that amount of wealth would continue to be coming into our communities. And I'm saying our communities, the African-American communities, and we wouldn't have to be relied on anyone for anything, because those making this country the richest countries in the world would definitely make our communities one of the wealthiest countries in the world. So again, without further ado, I am going to ask if any of my directors, if any of you are on the phone, you can go ahead and start reporting, because I know all of you have guests from the Farmers Associations that you would like to present. And while we're waiting on that, Brother Robert, I see we got
a pretty good...
I think I'm going to let you just go ahead and get started, and we'll proceed as we grow. So again, Brother Robert, welcome to the show, and we welcome your comments.
Thank you so much, but I got to go upstairs first. God, we thank you for doing this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God. What it is, thank you for inviting us. We have had a long journey since I've seen you. I left D.C. and got hung up on the train. We had to wait on the storm, and that's God's work. 2 hours coming from D.C., and I left there, and then I went to Selma the bloody Sunday. And then I left there, and I got on my tractor today. So I'm one tired soldier, but I'm still on the battlefield. And I want to say to all you all, if they would do us halfway right, we wouldn't be in the predicament we're in now, simply because they have promised us, like they promised the 40 acres and a mule and two mule and a pair of mules. They have promised black farmers they was going to write our debt off and all that. Back in 1999, here it is 2023, and we still haven't had our debts clear. They make promises, and that's all we get. Mr. Biden, I voted for him. I voted for Obama. I voted for every Democrat since I've been voting. And it's time for me to do something else. What? I don't know, because I can't go to the other side. They're worse than the Democrats. But anyway, they've been promising farmers, and we got to continue to fight this battle. Thank you so much.
Well said. Brother Biden, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Is this Sister Sasha?
It sure is. And wow, that was powerful. Starting off.
Yes, and Brother Robert will be with us for the continuation of the show, and of course, He can ad-lib as we go on. Sister Sasha, I'm going to, I know you have guests, and some of your guests may be moving and may have other schedules, so I'm going to, without delay, I'm going to turn it right on over to you.
Thank you so much. Yes, sir. This is a very important conversation, and I have two women on the phone with me right now who represent strong advocacy right now for black farmers in the United States. And one of them is Brielle Wright. Brielle, are you still on? Brielle, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm going to let everyone know who you are real quick. Brielle Wright is a proud NCANC alum, Aggie Pride, with a degree in agricultural business. She grew up in Clarkston, North Carolina, with her parents and grandparents who are professional farmers and in education. She and her older sister, Michelle, have started an organization called the Farmer's Bag, B-A-G, with the goal of creating a foundation that would fund and create opportunities for underrepresented youth in agriculture and underrepresented farmers. In addition to that, we have Ms. Richardson Tindall. Ms. Tindall, are you on the line as well?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for joining us. Ms. Tindall is from Tar Heel, North Carolina, in Bladen County, about 30 minutes outside of Fayetteville. She has taught nutrition and healthy living classes to families and provided active learning experiences that focus on canning and freezing produce. She is also legacy when it comes to farming, as far as her family being in the business for years. I have these strong, amazing ladies on the phone with us today to give us more insight. I know right now Brielle is at a dinner in a conference representing farmers and the protest that's going on right now. So I don't want to keep these ladies too close to time limit. And I know Ms. Tindall just came back from D.C. Ladies, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for the opportunity.
The first thing I want to say is the first thing I want to say is please give everybody on the phone a really in-depth understanding of what the fight is right now that the farmers have with the U.S. government in regards to the injustice that they are receiving.
So, well, I don't want to get too deep into what is happening with just black farmers, but I will say the reason why I'm here in this moment is to focus on the farm bill. And the farm bill is a huge thing. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the farm bill, but the farm bill is voted on every 5 years. And there's a lot of stuff in the farm bill that we are trying to fight for that will help and support black farmers. One of the things that we're looking at is SNAP benefits. Now, I don't know how many people really know that SNAP benefits are included in the farm bill, but 89% of the farm bill is focused on nutrition. And without having black farmers having access to ways to provide produce to different organizations or companies, you know, that's part of the farm, that's part of the food share, that's part of the money that we can actually partake in if we have farmers who are growing food for schools or doing farm-to-table programs. Another thing in the farm bill that we're fighting for right now is land access. One thing with land access is providing that I talked to people on Capitol Hill today about was providing funding for new farmers, beginning farmers, and also anyone who's farming in general, because there's not a – well, let me say new farmers. There's not a lot of programs that assist new farmers. There's a lot of black people going back home to their land, a lot of people of color in general, who are going back home to farm. And or they're starting to farm the land that they've had in their families. And so, you know, what resources do they have to get started? How do they know how to navigate USDA? A lot of us are not going to USDA because we don't feel comfortable or because we've been turned around at the door and not being helped by people within these organizations. And that is part of the fight that is going on, is that black farmers have not been given the same opportunities through USDA as other people have. They've been cheated or they've had farm loans that they've applied for and had higher interest rates than other people or been denied funding or denied access to programs. And so we were here fighting or speaking on behalf of increasing the opportunities for programs and funding directly to farmers. So land access, nutrition, and we also were able to speak to opportunities for providing more jobs for people within USDA. There's a lot of programs that are available, but we don't know about them because we don't have people one, who look like us within USDA or even in certain areas. And we don't have we don't have people who are going out and sharing the programs in every state and every county. Some states and some counties are better than others. But right now in certain places, it should be equal for everyone. There should be equity across the board for information that's provided and the people who are going out into the communities to help. I know when I was younger, the USDA farm extension agent came to visit my grandparents every week. And now you don't have that same thing happening and taking place. Matter of fact, I think that same extension agent still works there, and because he's a little, he's coming to retirement at this point, and so he don't come every week. He doesn't do the same things anymore, and so we have to be able to pass the torch to the next generation, and we're not seeing that within USDA, and so therefore we're not seeing the same passion, the same energy, and people are missing out on learning information. So those are just a few things that I have been able to speak to over the last week.
Thank you for that. Ms. Kendall, as a veteran farmer, what are some of the – speak more to what Ms. Wright was saying as far as experience as a veteran farmer and the importance of the farming community receiving the equity it deserves.
Well, some of the things that we've encountered is that even with some of the healthcare things, child care grants that have been awarded, it's like you pay so much and they pay so much. But in some of it, it's a little understand that, for example, if you get the well, they want you to get out, pay it up front, and then they will. Well, a lot of farms don't have that kind of funding. They apply just to do a well, and then we be reimbursed later. So therefore, because of that, it's on the hardship. And even the partners, the agencies are saying that you can get the cost share grant for the high school. Well, you will get the $9,000 for the high tunnel. Then out front, you are not let being known that you have to pay for someone to put it up, which can be $3,000, and that's not including paying for the lumber that it takes to do that with. So therefore, the farmers they are saying that these things are out there for the farmers, which is true, but the farmers don't get all that little tiny details needed to have beforehand so that you can be aware or even make a choice. And then on that, if you don't have that funding, then it's like, okay, you go into debt to get the funding. Well, if you're going into debt and you haven't even really got established the way that you need to be established so that the funding is coming in, then that still got you at a disadvantage. And then they have the different loans, farm loans. Well, to me, it doesn't make sense for you to go get a farm loan, and you don't know whether you are going to have the funding to come back in to pay that farm loan off or to keep those payments up. So therefore, it can cause you to be at a great disadvantage, and you can end up losing your property that way. So all of these little things, and not only that, there's one more thing I want to speak on. And that when you are given these cost share grants, it's literally stating like you have to fill out a 1099. That 1099 is like your farm is receiving $9,000 of revenue, or you made $9,000 of revenue. Well, that $9,000 of revenue might put you in a higher tax bracket, but that $9,000 of revenue wasn't something that you made or was given to help you on the farm to move forward the way that it's portrayed that it is. So therefore, all these things that are in place and they look like they are so awesome, so great for the farmer, it's who's being blessed by it and who's really moving forward. Because if I'm put in a higher tax bracket, and that $9,000 that look like that my farm made, I didn't receive it to help push me forward, then I'm still taking a step back. So these are some of the things that the farmers go through, and it should be better. So these are some of the things we did if we were there protesting throughout the day.
Right. Good information. Well said. So for us of those who are not farmers, but we are passionate about the activism that's going on and the issue that's affecting Black farmers, how can we be involved, and what position can we take in support of the Black farming community?
So one of the things that you can do is support your local farmer. If you really want to help support your local farmer, buy produce from them. Support the local farmers markets, the grocery stores that are owned by farmers. That's the biggest way that you can help, because you can put revenue in their pockets versus you paying Walmart or anyone else, and you're going to get food that you know where it came from. The second thing you can do, you can actually write a letter to your senator or representative in support of the farm bill. We work with Bread for the World, and they have already drafted campaign letters that are focused on SNAP benefits, nutrition and SNAP, equity, and land ownership. So those are the things that you could actually do. And I can share a website link with you all that you can use to do an offering of letters in support of the farm bill, and it'll tell you exactly who you need to send it to within your state or in your state. And that is probably the biggest thing right now. So support your local farmer and write a letter on behalf of the farm bill to support the things that are in it.
Great. Definitely we'll take note of that and be active within that. Ms. Tindall, do you have more to add to this, to the question of how we can show support?
No.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask the question of the young lady who just spoke.
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead.
My question is, this is Bilal Bynum with New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street. My sister, you said, mentioned the word 1099, and of course we know that's that's when you're 1099, I'm a financial planner. And saying that if one was applying for some sort of grant, how do you end up being 1099 if it's not a business transaction directly? How does the 1099 come into play, and why is there a 1099?
The 1099 comes into place because your business have been granted money.
Great.
And because this is what they say, okay, the 1099 comes to you from that organization, which is a government-funded organization, and that 1099 is for you. It says that it has awarded your business this amount of money. And that 1099, you have to turn it in on your tax as income that you received for your taxes.
You know, that, the reason I asked you that question, sister, I was at the demonstration in front of the White House, and I heard where there was quite a few quite a few African Americans losing their land because of foreclosure. And now, and many of the foreclosures was monies that, very small amount of monies that looked like they may have received from the Department of Agriculture. And like you said, if I was giving you a stipend to just to stay afloat, and then from that stipend, knowing that you have no monies for operational expenses, and you certainly don't have monies to pay back, and you this grant that I was supposed to be receiving, it sounds like it's more or less a loan. And if I don't pay this loan back, or if I don't pay my taxes, I am going to be in default. And if I am in default, then this is a their legal way of foreclosing on my land. Do I have any merits in what I'm saying?
Well, I can tell you what I know, and the only thing I know is that when you receive that 1099, when you go into these different cost share programs, and it's saying it's a cost share grant to me, and I could be wrong, but any other farmer would perceive that a grant is money that's being given to you without you having to pay it back. But then when you receive a 1099, a 1099 is stating that this here is like income that your farm has received in some kind of way, whether it was for you doing business and you made this amount of money, or it was donated to you, but you got to key it in as a form of income that your farm has made or received. So therefore, you're going to be taxed for that. And therefore, that can put you in a higher tax bracket. And if it do, and you are having to pay out taxes because it's saying you made X amount of dollars that put you over, and you really didn't have that amount coming in, so that puts you at a great disadvantage.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Brother Robert, you heard the comments.
Let me touch on those, how they do us as black farmers most of the time. They sent out letters back here a year ago that they was going to pay off all the black farmers' debt. And later on, they come back and said they wasn't going to pay it off. But they paid the white farmers' debt off. Took them 30 days to pay white farmers' debt off. We've been fighting to get paid for 30 years. And they are still not living up to the words. They passed bills in Congress that says in the farm bill that black should be treated equal in so many words. But when it come across the Potomac, I guess the water washes the ink, because when it get to an Alabama state like Alabama and those 3-pound county committee, they're the ones passes the money out, and then when they pass it out, if they don't or do, they don't get no repercussion on what they've done to black farmers until we put the USDA and the Ag Commission in check of how they are discriminated. It's been wrote in the law that they have discriminated in the craft bill, that they discriminated against black farmers. And when you discriminate, you should be paid for your damages. But here it is, 25, 30 years later, they are not doing it. We got to, if black folk and black farmers, we got to continue to let them know that they are not living up to what they say. And they're letting the Secretary of Agriculture do as please. And he's not being held accountable how he treats black folks.
Yeah.
And the 1099, that, you know, they sent us those 1099 to tie our land up. When they tie us up for the taxes, that's when they send that 1099 up. The tie black folks, they don't do white folks like that.
Wow, that's
atrocious. What, Miss? Miss Wright and Miss Tindall, thank you so much for attending. I know your time restraint is limited. If you have to get back to what you have going on right now, we completely understand, and thank you for your time on the call. You certainly have educated us even more on the importance and even given us direct instruction on how to support. Thank you so much for that. You know, please stay on if you're able to. And we would love to continue to have you as part of the audience as well.
Bye,
thank
Omi.
You. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
If you do stay on, we ask you to participate because we know all of you can give us, together, can give us a lot of information. Because black farmers, to lose the black farmers and to lose land, we are just totally, we would be 100% dependent on white folks who we know are going to be discriminating. We're 100% dependent on them to feed us and having them to control the cost to feed us. Just think about the low income. And those who are on in our welfare system, and they already said they're cutting food stamps on these folks as to where the families won't be able to feed their families. But if we had our farmers growing our produce and being able to control the black farmers' prices rather than white folks controlling us. I'm saying our black farmers and having land, that's the most important instrument that we need. We must have in our farmers are being systematically losing their land because of some small grant or some liar, small amount of money that they have you involved in, and in the meantime they start taking away hundreds and thousands of acres of land because of a small like I said, grant or proposal or what have you. But again, $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000 can take away 10,000 acres of land, and all of a sudden white folks now own this land. We as African Americans, we got, like I said, we're on life support. And if we don't do something, our communities, our communities, when I say is dead, that's going to be literally because many of our folks who of the smaller income, they don't stand a chance. And most of our communities are on the smaller incomes. So, brothers and sisters, we know we have a problem here that must be solved. And I've already said that calling the White House, that's who I am blaming, is Joe Biden.
Amen.
Joe Biden is the president of this country. And all of those cabinet folks and all of those committees that are doing these things, and like the sister say, we as African Americans are not involved in these committees. We're not involved in just about anything that's going on. So, again, we have to do something. And that something is put pressure. One of the biggest pressures, Joe Biden, because again, Joe Biden knows this is going on. There's no way And Brother Benson, you was telling me, Brother, you was telling me that after we had that protest, the next day
they paid. Yes, I can touch on that. They paid off $1.2 million farm down in Louisiana for a lady. She has been having trouble trying to get it, but I think they done paid off two or three since we protested. But we got to keep the foot. We got to keep the flame to the fire. We got to keep it burning. And it's a number we can call Biden. He want to know how we feel. I've called it four or five times and I've misplaced it, but I will get it to you tomorrow, the number to call, and he listened to it. He said he listened to us, but Mr. Biden said he had our back because we had, you know, when we picked him up in South Carolina. But he says that with the mouth, but the heart is far from it.
Exactly.
Mr. Biden could help. He could solve this problem within 3 days if he wanted to. But he's letting Vilsack take control and step on the law and not abide by the law. If I didn't know no better, I would say I'm in a third world country. Simply because they let this go on. And not only that, we got over 7,000 farmers got complaints up there in that USDA office. They won't even solve them, and they've been there for 15 and 20 years. If we could get those legacy farmers out the way, maybe they would farm some more. But how can you farm and you got to fight to save your farm? You got to get a job or do something to save your farm.
Yeah. Brothers and sisters, our mics are open. Anyone who is listening to us, I've opened up all the mics. So, like I said, we all got to, we have to do something about this. So we're looking certainly for you to share your opinions. And as we know, we got about three or four guests who specialize with farming and some of the farming bills and the of diplomacy that goes on as far as our black farmers are concerned. So we're going to open up these mics, and we're going to ask you to come in one at a time. If you have any questions for our guest speakers that you have already heard from, or if you have any questions or you have any comments, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, we welcome your comments at this time.
Yeah, Brother Bilal, this is Brother Aziz, co-host, Black Belt, New Africa Association, Black Belt, Wall Street. I wanted to thank our guests for coming on the show and providing this information for us that's so informative and educational. One of the things Brother Wright has just said that is imperative that we do, once we get this number, we need to post this number out on Facebook, everywhere we can, with a message attached to that number, letting African-American people know, because I have plenty of relatives that be on Facebook and others, as well as other media that we can get on and let them know about this, because I understand about farmers' land being taken and that. I'm from Alabama myself, Baldwin County, Alabama. But I'm down on the Gulf with our family had land, farmers too. And we understand that this is something that black African Americans in the farm aspect has been discriminated against a long time, as well as other things that African Americans that are trying to provide a good life for themselves been discriminated against. 4 days ago or 5 days ago, something like that, the Secretary of Veterans Administration came out and they said that they know that they have been discriminated against African-American veterans, and it's been going on for too long. And they have a commission that they just set up this week that's supposed to be looking into the discrimination against African-Americans. Well, who didn't know that, Mr. African-American, about all the different places and things where we've been discriminated at? against. Who didn't know that? And all of a sudden, it's something we just discovered. So what I'm saying is, with this information we have, and anyone that's listening to us, it's imperative that, as the brothers say, we keep their fire to their feet, or their feet to the fire, because Biden must know, as we were saying that day of the protest, that, you know, Joe, if you don't do something to help us out, we won't vote for you no more. You're going to go. You're going to go if you don't vote for us. And it's imperative that everybody that's listening, we let others know how important it is to support the black farmers. And I want to thank you for letting me put this important piece in, and maybe I can say something later on. But again, thank you.
Thank you, Brother Isaac. It's very good information, because it's like this. If we can have hundreds and thousands of calls going into that White House, African Americans are protesting, the Farmers
yeah.
Association and economical despair in our communities, period. That's how things are going to happen, because Biden needs the black vote in order to see
yes,
it
you
out.
Do.
And so, again, yeah. if we let him know that we're sick, he can either get off, almost say get off the pot. But,
yeah.
But that's what he's got to do. He's got
Absolutely.
To, show us something, and he's got to show us something fast before the primary, because if it stays the way it is right now, like you said, I voted for him. I'm from Delaware, his home state, and you're talking about terrible situations for black folks. Nothing is any worse than the situations for black folks in Delaware, especially in the southern parts of Delaware. So, again, it's time, like I said, his smile, he's got a nice smile. But, boy, I'm not for sure what type of man Joe Biden is. But again, I do know what kind of vote he will be getting from me. And I'm saying, and if other African Americans who feel like the same way, let Biden, yes, that number that we're getting, and I am going to look the number directly up that goes directly to the White House. And I
yes.
will have that number, and I have it out on the email. As soon as I get the number, I should have had it before I came on this radio, but I wasn't thinking. But again, brothers and sisters, I'm going to go back to our guests and our directors, and our mics are open. If you have any comments, we'd like to hear your comments about this very important discussion. Our mics are open.
I want to give somebody else some time. I'm Robert Binion again from Clanton, Alabama, but I want to say this. He's going to campaign, start campaigning in April. I want to be done raised enough money to put up billboards that Joe Biden, Bill Sachs, and have destroyed the black farm. Just when he began the campaign, I'm going to campaign against him in Alabama.
Yes, and we may be joining you, but right. We need to warn Joe Biden what is about to happen. So
yes, sir. We need to tell him.
Oh, you know, there's no doubt about it. I mean, like I said, when I was down there at that, at that march, there was a sister down there. That sister said she had 10,000 acres. And she got caught up into what the sister is talking about, this 1099 stuff, where she received
yes.
all of the monies, but she couldn't repay those monies that she probably got, thinking a grant or what have you. But they took, the lady said she had over 10,000 acres of land, and said, she had over just less than 100 acres.
She got 150 acres left. That's all she got left.
Yes. So that's the kind of situation. They're intentionally. finally taken our land. And like I said, without land, you don't even have a community. You can't have a community. You can't have anything without land. So this is a discussion that started today, but it's a discussion that a Black Belt Wall Street won't let go until the wrong is made right. It is just that simple. So we will have the numbers, and we will be putting those numbers out, and anyone who needs to get in touch with us to get more information, New Africa, Black Wall Street, you can contact us through our email is nabassc@gmail.com. nabassc@gmail.com. Send us your email, and we will put you on our list. So when whatever activities Black Belt Wall Street is doing, you will know, and we would like to also know any organizations, any of you young ladies that we're speaking to that's working as, I would say, as a liaisons on our behalf up in the, representing the governments. We need to be able to work with you and support you also, because we must represent, we must have lobbyists that that is the voice of our communities. So, sisters, we certainly appreciate what you're doing, but it's all of us collectively can really turn this thing around. So, sisters, I'm going to turn it back over. Any of you have comments that you'd like to make to the audience, we welcome your comments. And if our audience have any questions they want to ask you, all of our mics are open. All right.
I can. Well, let me say this. If anybody got any questions how long we've been fighting legacy farmers, you can go to BenyonRobert@gmail.com. BenyonRobert, and just leave me a message, and I will get back with
you. I was talking, Brother Robert. Say that again so they can understand, and I'll keep my mouth closed.
I'm sorry, and I want to thank you now for what you're doing. You didn't have to do this, but I want to thank you right now, and the women who spoke up, I want to thank them. But being this thing is critical than when Rosa Todd wouldn't get up out of her seat. This is just as worse. What Obama's is really trying to take all our land. And if we take our land, we cannot feed ourselves. I got about a 10-acre plot. I was farming 300 acres. I used to lease my land. But I was farming 300 acres. And I've cut down to about 10 acres, and I'm still producing and making just about as much money, because it got where I couldn't get nobody to help me gather my crop, and I was losing a lot of crop. But I use irrigation now, I can see a few dollars going in my pocket. But anybody want to ask me a question, it's Binion, B-I-N-I-O-N, Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T,
@gmail.com.
Well, thank you, Brother Benyon.
You're welcome.
On the phone with us, Brother Umar out of Michigan. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Any comments, Brother? Now, Brother Umar, let me just say this and say this to the Farmers Association. We also been having dialogue and direct speech with Africa, with some of our African nations, and there are several African nations that are asking, are proposing dual citizenship if African Americans would come back home and start living in Africa. So, Brother Umar, any comments or anything you like to make?
What's the name of the brother that just spoke? What's your name again?
BinionRobert@gmail.com.
Robert?
That's B-I-N-I-O-N, Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T, @gmail.com.
Okay, what's your phone number, if I may have it, please?
Yes, you can. 205-299-1873.
1873. Yes, sir. Yeah. I am talking with Dr. Latrice Wilson. She is really working with the Black Farmer Association in Florida. And we have been trying for, you know, to do certain things that can, because, you know, black farmers can grow something here and sell it overseas, because Texas farmers, white farmers have been selling wheat to Africa for many, many years. You know, and there's Dr. Wilson and I are talking about things like that. You know, maybe what we need to do to strengthen both sides is that we have to fight this thing from both ends. You know, because, like, you know, food is needed, it's important. And I will try for me to link you up with Dr. Latricia, like I said, who is the working with the Black Farmer Association in Florida, the Florida branch. And, you know, and I think we will be able for to really have some kind of important dialogue. Yeah, I know that, you know, we need to really have a dual program that can benefit both sides. Because what farmers, black farmers are facing, Africa is on the verge of coming to the same thing right now. There are people coming from everywhere to get hold of our land and grow food there and ship it overseas and stuff like that. But I think if we are able for to really get the experience of black farmers in the United States, and then we can be able for to really do a lot of stuff. So, you know, and I'm going to call you and I'm going to talk to Dr. Latricia, and then we can have some kind of dialogue, you know, on something like this. Yeah, okay. And is Brother Aziz on the line too?
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Brother Aziz, what's your phone number, please?
202-903-702.
I didn't get the last one.
7278.
7278. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah,
all
but
right.
Brother Robert, I'm going to send an email and also communicate with you, and you can also to Dr. Latricia. She will be a very important ally in this struggle here for you.
Okay, Brother Uzma, we thank you for your comments. Our mics are open, and we welcome your comments, or anyone who may have any questions, we welcome your comments or questions.
Yes, Brother Aziz, again, it's a comment I wanted to make, Brother Bilal. I have talked to that lady at the Black Farmers protest that we were at, and actually, there was 2,000 acres of land that she had, and they whittled it down, as Brother said, to 150 acres. But what it was when I was talking to her, another gentleman was standing beside her, and I said, 2,000 acres of land. I say, do you know 2,000 acres of land is 4 miles in any direction that you go, northeast, south, west, if you're standing in the middle of your 2,000 acres? And I'm saying, can you imagine having that kind of separation between you and whoever you wanted and didn't want to come on your land, or the things that you would be able to do with that amount of land, the farming, as well as other parts where you could do hunting on and all that. So it is so important for all those that listen again to realize how much land, the 2,000 acres is just a small amount of land, to the combined land that our brothers and sisters have been slowly but surely losing, the black farmers. So I just wanted to let that be made aware of, that when you got that much land, that's what you can do, and that's the kind of privacy and security you can have as a farmer and as a people. So thank you again.
And at this point, I'm going to take our director out of North Carolina, Sister Aisha. Sister Aisha, are you with us? Sister Aisha, are you with us? Okay, she may not have come on yet, but I'm looking forward to Sister Aisha, because she had some special information she wanted to share with us this evening, I know also. So hopefully she will be on as soon as possible. But in the meantime, Sister Saisha, you have any other comments or anything that you wanted to add to this before Sister Aisha comes on?
I think that, thank you for saying that. Yes, I think that this is a good opportunity for further discussion between, you know, what is possible, what exists in a lot of our HBCUs that was based on agriculture, right? Florida A&M and North Carolina A&T and Tuskegee and all the alumni HBCUs that focus on agriculture, and then how we could make that a reality in Africa. Of course, you know, my platform as far as the renewal of business in Africa or just bringing in black business in Africa, and that's been my platform. But I think that this is a great opportunity to this conversation of talking about the struggles, the unnecessary, unfair, the unjust struggles of the black farmer in America, but the opportunities that we could have as black business owners, black farmers and such in Africa for the upliftment of our people out there. So I think that, you know, this conversation should continue. And Brother Usman, I think there's a good idea that you have about contacting these businessmen and seeing what could be done as far as bringing their talents and their information to the continent for that. Yeah,
thank you. I think it is really something that we have to think about seriously. We are all facing the same enemy, same problem. Sister, what's your name again? What's your name?
Saisha Ali. We spoke before.
Okay, okay.
I introduced you to a crafting artist.
Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, I don't know, for some reason, you said you didn't get the email I sent to you, right?
No, I received it, and we had that meeting briefly with him, and we're moving forward with next steps with that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah. We see the thing is, you know, they have tried for them to really keep us apart for a very long time with some very strategic strategies, and we need for us to overcome that. We need to work together. We must work together.
All right. I want to go back to Brother Robert. Brother Robert, you heard Sister Ali. She was just mentioning about the black universities, AMEs especially. And you were, and at the meeting, they were telling us how many of our young African Americans not even majoring in the science of agriculture. Can you give us elaborate on that?
Yes, I'm going to do this, and I hope I don't offend them HBCs. I love them to death. I sent my son to HBC. You are much doing. Biden is putting big money in those HBCs now. And when he put money in there, that closes their mouth. They can't talk about it. So when I left and come to the, when I was left to go to the rally, I got friends and presidents down there, and they have helped me before I get to rallies, because they got some outreach money to try to help them. This time, I couldn't get one dime from them. And I don't know if I talked to Archon in Mississippi, and they, you know, they seem to help. And some will help and some won't. I'm not going to take a broom and just fight all the HBCs. But at this last time, Tuskegee did not donate one dime for outreach. And they got $7 million this year for outreach. The money is for to help educate farmers all over. And me going to the rally, I could come back and tell them it would educate these other farmers. Everybody couldn't come to the rally. I brought 10 folks with me from Alabama with the help of the attorney who had the rally. But I'm just saying, these HBCs need to come up to the plate and help black farmers, and we could get out of our situation much quicker if they would just speak a word. You know, from the universe, God spoke a word in darkness, it came to light. All the HBCs have to do is that they won't be scared. They won't cut their money off. Just speak a word to help. And why young folk won't entertain them and get in that field, because they're seeing the struggle of their mamas and daddies out here. They're seeing how we, when they come put in us a well, we got to pay out our pocket to get irrigation. And we can't
Good evening.
Different units, different things from that. But I'll let your other guests go on and speak.
Yeah. Good evening, Brother Bilal and guests.
Okay, so
can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We was waiting on you. As a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and introduce.
This is Sister Aisha Abdul Ali from Durham. I have been having network problems connected. I could hear you all, but I don't think you could hear me. I do have some questions that I would like to ask Mr. Benjamin Roberts. Sir, my question is, what is the production rate of the black farmers, and are they producing enough presently to supply a U.S. market? Hello, did you all hear? Anybody hear that?
Mr. Roberts, a quick question.
Yes. Give me the question again. I didn't hear it. My own phone acting up. Give me the question again.
Yes, the question is, what is the present production of the black farmers, and are they producing enough product presently to provide for the U.S. market? If they had the market outlets here in the U.S., can they presently supply a large market?
Yes, they can. Black farmers have taught white folk how to farm, and these older farmers, they got the skills, but don't. Taxes wore out, crops wore out. They don't have the money, the resource. They just holding on to the farm. That's what they're doing. And if they had resource to help them, lift them up out the dirt, they could produce just as much as the white farm.
So your answer is that they are producing presently enough for a U.S. market if they had that outlet? Or
yes, they
will produce.
They will.
Okay.
Yeah, they are still producing.
This
farmers in Alabama still producing.
Okay. Is there a consortium that all of the farmers work through, like a network that all of the farmers can work through if you had outlets in the U.S.?
Is
that kind of?
Yes.
And these are farmers in how many different states in the U.S. do we have black farmers represented? Approximately.
We was at that rally, and it was, I think, about 16 states.
Okay.
Yeah. Am
about
I right?
16 states?
Yeah.
Okay. And the I assume that the farmers are they specialty farmers? You have farmers that produce a special crop and others that also produce a special crop, or are these farmers who are producing variety crops? The reason I'm asking questions like this, variety crops, the reason
yes,
I'm
ma'am.
Asking
variety.
Is if we as a people are not able at this point, and it's going to take some time, to take products off the shores of the U.S., we have to have another backup system. And I remember very distinctively a system in the past where farmers brought their products in to into different parts of the U.S. and were able to sell their products. So perhaps this is a system that we could think in terms of going back to. I'm not opposed to selling the product in Africa, into Africa, but there might be some obstacles, and it might take a little time, several years, to get this process working. But in the meantime, there is a market in the U.S. that was created, and I do believe that we can bring that market back together to purchase the products of the farmers, the black farmers. And this is something that we as a people did before, and I think that we should certainly start thinking about the U.S. market and using those resources that are generated there to go into the international market while we are building that market. Is this making any sense?
Yes, it is. They have little markets in different markets all over the state of Alabama. Farmers can take small quantities. But if they had more resource, they would grow more if they could get rid of it. Like I had 300 acres one time. I would lose almost half of my crop because I couldn't sell it all. But if we had a market, we could use our little market and also use markets for overseas or Africa, wherever you wanted to send it, if we can get rid of it. If we can grow it. We can grow it. I'm assuring to you, I'm 73, be 74 in June. I still got 10 or 15 years of good life left. And this is what I have. If we got some young farmers. I had some young farmers wanted to go to that rally with me, but they couldn't turn loose because, he had other things he was doing and trying to hold on to get ready to plant this crop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying the resources they let us have. I know some farmers borrowed from USDA, and they held the check to September. Now, you can't grow a crop much in September. You got to have the money in February and March.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened. We got to find an avenue where we can get money and pay it back or whatever, grants, loans, whatever. But we don't have that. We have folks putting stumbling blocks in our way in the South. I don't know what's happening up in the North, but they putting them in our way in the South. And people are not doing, Biden is not doing anything about it.
Yeah,
Biden know what we're going through. He knows. But he just, I guess he said he don't need the small farm.
So there is a farmers cooperative that have organized many of the black farmers. Is that right?
Yeah. I had a co-op. And I had a co-op of 20 farmers in Alabama. I got a little sick, and I turned it over to another county. I had three counties I was cooperating with. And I've had folks ask me why did I let it go. But I got a little down and out in my back, and I quit doing anything back then. And the people who took it, I didn't call it no name, the HBC took it over, and they got the money, and they were issuing what they was doing. The governor of the state of Alabama in 2000, and I can't, don't quote me on it, but it was 2000, I'd have to look at over some notes. But he gave us a grant and told us to go farm. Went through the HBC, and they wanted to charge the farmer the money that the governor said it was a grant.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what
wow.
I'm saying. We need people to treat us fair in America.
Yeah. Yeah. Brother Robert.
So
you know,
do you see the validity of a self-help, we help ourselves project?
Oh, yeah.
Where
I see that. But when if I start in a race and you get to see the head of me, I can't catch.
Excuse me,
if you and I start a 50-yard dash, a 100-yard dash, and I give you 50, I spot you 50 feet, no way I catch you before you get to the 100-yard dash. That's what USDA is doing to black farmers. They spotting white folks. They're giving them money, but they're giving us hell. Excuse the expression.
Yeah, yeah, no, We hear, you know, Sister Aisha, this is nothing but what we've been talking about now for the last couple of years when we started talking about redlining. This is more than a continuation of redlining because we know redlining, the federal government is intentionally trying to keep large amounts of monies out of the black communities. Because they know if we had large amounts of monies in our communities, we could build commerce in our communities. We could have our own banks. We could have our own financial institutions.
Yeah.
We could have our own real estate brokerage. All of the large businesses that they have in white communities that, like you said, that are being supported. The reasons you won't see any of these businesses in any black communities, and it's been going on ever since the New Deal back after World War II. There's a redlining started. They're intentionally trying to keep monies out of the black communities, and they know farmers can produce millions. So,
amen.
But again, knowing this information is the same reason why we as African Americans want to save our communities, therefore saving ourselves, is giving our farmers the support they need, the financial support they need to put the seed in the ground, produce that seed, because now every community out here needs food. We could set up farmers markets all over this country as to where we need is the finished produce that the farmers can give us. But in order for the farmers to give us that finished produce, they first of all have to put a seed in the ground and grow it, and then put it in distribution. So we also would want to invest, because that's what it is. Nobody's asking nobody to give nobody anything. It is an investment to that farmer. And in return, the farmer will be able to return the investment after he sells his produce. And selling that produce to us at more or less wholesale prices, now we can control our own retail. So, but it all starts with keeping our black farmers and making certain that farmer can put that seed in the ground and bring about the produce from that seed. So we have our work cut out for us. While we're waiting on the fairness of the federal government, because but in the meantime, We cannot allow our farmers to keep on losing their lands through the trickery of our own federal government. And our own federal government has been putting us into a trick for a long time because, like you said, these committees that makes decisions, these committees are all white folks. And these white folks are not trying to see to it that our communities start developing large amounts of monies. We are going to have to do that for ourselves, and it's not, like I said, it's not a gift. If the farmers can produce, I can buy from that farmer at a reasonable cost, then now I can sell my produce to my own communities. And believe me, you're not only going to be selling your produce to your own communities. You're going to be selling your produce to anyone, the open market, that wish to buy your produce. And I have no doubt that we'll be able to sell it, but we can't sell unless we have the product to sell. Our mics are up, Sister Aisha. I'm going to turn it back over to you. I didn't mean to.
And this is the point that I was making. We do need to support the farmers, and I do believe that if the farmers are speaking to us and they know how the best way that we can, I think that we can mobilize enough people, enough of our constituent base to set up some type of program or many programs throughout the U.S. because we've done this before, so there is a roadmap for doing it where we would buy the produce of the farmers if they could bring it in to us. So I know that it's necessary and we want the government to support this project, but we don't want to die on the vine just because the government is not doing it. We want it to be a self-help. So therefore, that's why I asked the question about what they are presently producing. What are there any numbers put together, any figures put together on what they will need as far as revenue to for a
Ms. Aisha, not cutting you off.
Yes,
I put together a plan. We put together a plan last year to some folks from up north. And we got the plan, and we started the crop. But when we got it ready, our stuff was it died on the vine because they didn't do their end of the deal. We planted the crop and gathered
it. So
but we couldn't sell it all.
Do you have a copy of that plan so we can have an idea of
I can call the gentleman who I said we sent out. What he wanted us to plant.
Okay.
Send it right into Black Belt Wall, New Africa, New Black Belt Wall Street, because Black Belt Wall Street, we want to even our memberships, those who would join Black Belt Wall Street. Black Belt Wall Street is a nonprofit organization. So when we receive memberships or we receive funds coming in, there's no profit for us to make. But allocating those funds back into our community, and in this case, the first allocation's got to go to our farmers. We must have our farmers' production because of the millions of dollars we can make from the production of our farmers. So, again, I'll leave that information again. Getting in touch with Black Belt Wall Street. That would be nabassc@gmail.com. So nabassc@gmail.com. We need your memberships, but most of all, we need to hear from you. But we need to put together, and I would be to our farmers so they can produce what they need to produce. And like I said, Brother Robert, now I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
As a farmer, do you need the monies, let's say, up front? Are you able to produce
most farmers, fertilizer done went up to $27 a bag.
Wow.
And I've been talking to you an hour and a half, and I left my tractor running outside. Diesel is up $5 a gallon.
Wow.
We can produce, but, you know, I laid off some rows just afternoon for some squash, beans, whole beans, all that. And you know, I talked to some farmers the other day, and they wanted me to start another co-op. And, you know, I told them we need to come together as one again, because that's the only way we can make it. We got to tie this thing together, and we can make it. But, yes, I could have some of the farmers listen to you on next Wednesday if you want me to.
Oh, no.
And can you get that report that you put together last year?
I will. If he got it, what we put together, I will. I'll send it out to you. I'll send it to the gentleman who had me. I'll send it to his email, and he'll get it to you.
Oh, yes. We all are directors of Black.
Okay, Global. I'll send it to either one of you. It don't matter. But like I said, I'm trying to get the crop in the ground right now. And
Brother Bilal, and he'll get it out to us.
Okay, that sounds good. And if y'all excuse me, I have to cut this track off, because if it goes run out of diesel, it take an act of Congress to get it started back up.
Thank you.
And I thank y'all for being concerned. Really, I do.
This program is not going to end tonight. It's not going to end.
Okay.
That's right.
I'm gonna have to step outside and cut this diesel off. I know I have.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening here, and God bless you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bless you too, bro.
We'll see you next. So, Sister Aisha, I'm gonna turn it back over to you. There's many, many comments that I consider and make, but it's not my comments. It's our community. As a matter of fact, Sister Aisha, why don't we see if there is any of our listening audience that have any comments to present at this time? I would love to hear.
Go right ahead, Brother Bilal.
Our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
I invited some people to listen tonight, and if you have comments, and some of you all are financial people, and you are historians, and so if you would like to make a comment on anything that has been said, please do so. We need to hear from everyone, and we need to get an idea of where people are, because when we come back to you all and say, commit some finances to this project, we would like for you to do so. And of course, if we ask you to do so, we will have all the data. We will have the system put in place where we will be very certain that we will get the produce, that we can sell the produce. So there will be many parts to this, but you all, the ones of you who are online, please let us hear from you.
Hello, I thought that was a comment. We welcome your comment. Go right ahead.
You know, I think that on some of the lines we are having technical issues, Brother Bilal, because I for 30 minutes from 7:30 on, I could not, I could get on, but you all couldn't hear me.
Precisely, I was calling for you, and I couldn't, I could not say it was unusual for you not to be on. But,
yeah.
uh, So hopefully, well,
Is there someone
yes,
in the background?
Our mics are open. If you can hear us, we can hear you. Go right ahead. All right.
We want the audience to know. Yes, go ahead.
Come on.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
There are some technical difficulties going on. However,
I would just like to chime in and say this is Brother Slavin Akbar. I've been enjoying the program, and it's always extremely relevant and useful knowledge. A lot of times we're listening and we're not responding back, but I'd just like to let you know that you're being listened to in the Huntsville, Alabama area.
Thank you very much.
And we would love to have your comments on the show tonight, and perhaps you have some ideas on how we can move forward to help the farmers. And it's just not helping the farmers, it's helping ourselves as well, because we want very good produce in our kitchens, and we want to be able to feed these to our family. But we want a nation of African-American people and people of color who can survive, and we can come together and unify. And I think that this is truly one of the most worthy causes that we can unify around. So if you have any comments on anything that was said, we certainly will look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm really a little bit, puzzled, because if you look at what is happening in Africa during even before the Ukraine crisis, if you look at the amount of money Africa spends on the importation of food, it's mind-boggling. And then we find out that our people here have land and it cannot be able for them to tap into that market. That is a crime. You see, because when the Russian blockade the wheat coming from Ukraine, it had a direct impact to the whole continent. You see, so these are the type of things that we need to really take a look at, and because if you have a market like that, there's market for farm produce, even though Africa has the climate and all that stuff, but we spend most of our foreign earnings on the importation of food. Rice. There was rice shortage in Liberia. It almost, and as a matter of fact, a coup took place many, many years ago in Liberia because of rice shortage. And there was a rice shortage recently during this Ukraine crisis. And people are here with land, and we have to close this gap. Then also, I don't know, there are some innovative things I was thinking about when the brother was talking about this tractor. Why no electric tractors now? This technology is coming, and also, they are farmers. Why not produce biofuel? This is something that they can work with historical black colleges. It's not a rocket science that somebody producing biodiesel for you to run it in your, So these are the type of comments I have. And also, I think I heard about some brothers that are opening very successful grocery stores. They call it Yellow Banana. Yeah, so they are in Cleveland, and I think they are trying to expand. These are the type of athletes that need to be encouraged, and if they really spread all over the country, they can be able to be a source for produce coming from black farms. You see.
So, Brother Usman, my question is, do you have a
proposal that you have put together on the needs, the produce needs in Africa, a plan of action? Do you have one that you could share with us at Black Belt Wall Street?
Yes, there is a, I alluded to some kind of concept that came about as a result of this wheat flour shortage. You know, say for example, we can be able to have a direct link to the blending of the cassava flour with the wheat flour coming from black farmers. You see, this is something that, you know, I think alluded to the email I sent, and that is what, you know, Dr. Latricia and I are thinking about. Because, you see, you know, 20% of the cassava flour is subsidized by wheat flour. You see, so if we have, you know, I think 20% cassava and 80% wheat flour. So this wheat flour, why can't it come from black farmers? We can put a proposal together, something like that, a concept, which I'll be able to share with you for to move forward on something like that, you know, because, like, if we have farmers that are there or bakers that are there, they can be able for them to use that amount of flour, that amount of flour. Yes. You know, it is a concept that I have never really developed fully, but it's something that can be developed, yes.
Well, certainly if we have a plan, if we have something in writing, a plan, an idea, and it can always be perfected, at least we will have a roadmap to get started with pulling together the resources that we can within our community.
Yes.
My concept is not to wait for the federal government, although we know that they are obligated, but we can't wait. I think this is very crucial now. So if you have a plan, a concept, a basic idea, share with us in good faith that we will keep it, you know, we will not take your concept and run with it in another direction. We are committed to this idea.
I'm not cutting you, but I'm going to do that. As a matter of fact, I am planning on returning back to Africa by the end of April. So in between, I was thinking of having a real meeting between the board members and myself anywhere. I say I can travel. You are in the Carolinas, right? I suggest that I can come over there and we can meet in person so that we can be able to put some concrete things together. And then the expert will take it and build it up. Go ahead.
Well, we can have working sessions on Zoom because it would be more than me, and then other people are in different parts of the country. So we can always use technology to work.
And also, like I said, we are a New Africa Business Association, a Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. Black Belt Wall Street Business Association wish to solve the problems that we're having in our country and in the black communities of supporting our black farmers. And so, again, this business of sending something to me or send something to you, that's not Black Belt Wall Street. Black Belt, you can either, again, like I said, you can join us or you can move out of our way and let us do what we have to do. But it's Black Belt Wall Street, community of Black Belt Wall Street, and it's that unity we're trying to put together. But when it comes to let's do something, I, you break up the unity. So
I'm not particularly saying this, but just me. I am talking about meeting with the association, with the group, people that are involved. Because, Biden, it is always a handful of people that can put ideas together for a big organization. These are suggestions. We are not going to say my idea is the best, so everybody going to accept. No. This is what is all in line with the interests of the group and this, and everybody. And I agree with you 100% that the problem.
Okay. Brother Uthman, you've been put on mute because, again, we have to speak when we ask you to speak, but you cannot just take over and not listen to the host of our host. So again, we have you on mute, and Sister Aisha, if you have any comments or any questions, please just go right ahead.
Thank you very much, and hopefully we are all come together. We do truly want to work with the black farmers, and we think that we can be of resource to them, because if they go down, we all go down. We need their resources, and we certainly need their talents. And there are many ways, I do believe, that we can work together. So I encourage the listening audience to chime in, to let your opinion be heard, because you all have ideas as well. And we here at Black Belt Wall Street, we want to benefit from your ideas and your comments. So whatever, don't think that whatever you might say is not worthy enough. Of course it is. And we would love to hear what you have to say. You know, we have mentioned before, and it is still the case, we talked a couple of times where people around the world are listening to this program from. And I'm going to tell you, there are 15 countries that's online tonight, including the UK, Ireland, Portugal, Tunisia, Ghana, South Africa, Mozambique, Kenya, India, Tanzania, France, Russia, Canada, Zimbabwe, and of course here in the U.S. So other people around the world are listening to what we are saying. And hopefully we are saying something of value that they can use in a good way. So don't think that we aren't being heard throughout the world or around the world, because we are. These and some of the same topics that we talk about on Wednesday night, other countries are having the same issues, and many of them would look to the U.S., the people in the U.S., for suggestions and recommendations. So this is not a small task that Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association, has undertaken for the last 6 to 8 years. This is a huge task, and their voice is well known. So come on board with us and participate in the conversation. So we welcome your dialogue.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Brother Bilal, I have some ideas that I would like to share with you. By the way, this is your sister, Bernice Swan, Delaware. And good evening. And I want to share with you setting up a... I'll wait until the persons mute themselves.
Okay.
Yes, please put your...
Brothers and sisters, please. If I have all the mics open. I don't want to put anybody on mute because I want your opinion shared. So if you're not speaking, please put yourself on mute because... the radio station can hear everything that's going on. We can pick up just about anything from this radio station. So please, if you're not ready to speak and there's noise in the background, just put yourself on mute. And when you're ready to speak, take yourself off of mute. But I think they're cooperating with you now, Ms. Swan, so go right ahead.
Thank you for doing that. I'd like to set up with you, Aisha, you included, of course, a planning committee. I have some ideas that I want to share with you. It's easy for us to do that by Zoom meeting, which I will set up, and we'll simply put up our dates of meeting and slowly by slowly set up our plan. It's not that difficult, but we have to do this little by little, because by little is going to give us a lot that we're going to be able to accomplish based on the many ideas that have been shared. But now, above and beyond the sharing of these excellent ideas, we now need to set up a plan, as Sister Aisha has very eloquently repeated tonight. And that can easily be done, but it has to be step by step now. And so we'll talk about how we can meet by Zoom, and slowly by slowly, with our dates in mind, so we'll know when we're meeting, go forth with some planning. Things can be done, and we're not waiting for others to do what we can do for ourselves, because the others will never get things done. They might join us after they see we're making progress, but with or without them, we can do this.
Yes. Well,
thank you. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you so much. And I think...
Sister Aisha, if I would say it, I'm going to get right back to you. Sister Swan, you're a state director, so when you said there a meeting and we want to set up a meeting, you're a state director. We can always honor meetings with our state directors. So if you
I'll set up our Zoom meetings with you. I'll get back with you on what that information will be.
We'll be more than happy to entertain any of our directors, I have to say. So we look forward to your business plan. With that said, Sister Aisha, right back to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let me mention a few words about climate change, and not to move away from these topics of the farmers and their need for our assistance. But everything that we are talking about and everything that we are doing now, we have to consider this element of climate change and the impact on our lives and the impact on our produce once the produce is in the field. So we cannot get away from this. Now, we as a people, as a people of color, African-American people in particular, we're not moving fast enough with this type of discussion about climate change. And we are not at the point where, I know it's difficult for some people, they are saying to me, oh, we have so many things on our table, we have COVID, now we have all these other viruses, we have the economy. Yes, all of those things are in front of us. But there is also this element of climate change that we are now as a world have no control over whatsoever. At least with the economy, funds can be put in place to help a certain group of people in the population. But there is nothing out there that controls the climate. We're at the mercy of whatever the weather is going to be tomorrow or today. So let us keep this foremost in our mind. As I talk to organizations and talk to individuals about climate change and disaster preparedness, there is a inkling people desiring to know more and people desiring knowing how to get prepared. But it's not enough. But as far as I know, and if there's anyone else out there who knows more, tell me. Black Belt Wall Street is the only voice out there that talk about climate change on a regular basis every week. I don't know of another airway that does this. And there are some, I'm sure. So please let me know if you know of any others. So we have got to start thinking climate change. When the classes for training starts back very soon, we want you to bring your organizations, your community organizations, put us in touch with them, and we will invite them personally to come on board and let us train them. This is what we do at Black Belt Wall Street. We stay in touch with the community. We stay in touch
with what the community needs for its survival. So I encourage you all, be in touch with us. You have the Gmail address. Send a note, send a message to tell us that you want to know more. And we'll be very happy to get back with you. Thank you. So comments?
You know, Sister Aisha, I have to comment on what you're saying because audience on disaster and disaster preparations. Look at the snowstorms that are going on in California. You have entire communities, I mean rich communities where millionaires live. They right now would be glad to have an egg sandwich because, again, they don't have nothing, and they wasn't prepared. There was no disaster preparations going on as to where I can sustain myself for the period of time that you see these communities are not able to sustain themselves. And I'm saying, and these are huge communities, not one community, but several communities. And there's still more snow on the way. So again, so what you're saying, sister, and what you're trying to be very convincing of, you would think it would be very easy to follow your lead, especially since you've been in disaster training for so many years, and you know so much about it, and you can inform us all. And plus, your organization have already prepared disaster kits where one can just have the disaster kit in their homes, and if such a disaster occurred, such as is going on right now in California, you'll be able to sustain yourself for a week or so at a time until some kind of relief. But just think, if you didn't have a relief and you had to be snowed in where you can't even get out to food and water or anything else, and you're stuck like that, almost like you're in prison for a week or so, and you don't have any kind of your family. So, sister, keep on trying to inform us, and I know that I am so glad to be working with you. And, yes, having kids and ordering those kits should be our first priority. So, I hope that our listening audience listen to you. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sister Aisha.
Well, you know, interesting enough, when we had Hurricane Katrina, the federal government said that we need to be prepared for 72 to survive on our own for 72 hours, which is 3 days, because that was some length of time that they estimated that it would take them to rescue you. Well, think about it. That scenario is changing. You have got to be prepared for more than 72 hours now. And you can think about the situation that's occurring in California and central U.S., the storms. So that 72-hour rule is drastically changing, and that's how quickly climate change events are changing the way we have to think and the way we have to do things. Yes, we can teach you how to survive for 72 hours if you have to shelter in place or even if you have to evacuate. But what happens after that? Because with the number of storms that's developing throughout the United States, do not count on being rescued in 72 hours. Don't count on that. It's highly unlikely that it will happen.
because of the sheer numbers of people who are being devastated by storms and the number, the continued increase in the number of storms that we are having throughout the U.S. So often we talk about consequences. If you have one storm in one place, a disaster in one place, one part of the country, there are consequences in another part of the country. Storms can impact you over 1,000 miles away, and we know that. And we have all of the proof to show that storms that have occurred in the past have impacted another coastline or another group of people over 1,000 miles away. So there's so much for us to constantly be wanting to bring to you, keeping up with the data, keeping up with what's going on. But we've got to start being afraid to deal with the reality of climate change, because it's real and it's going to affect us. And we teach you about your plan, your family plan, how you organize that plan. If there's a storm and your children are in the schools, you need to have a plan with your kids where to meet you, what corner or what street or who to call. And now our poor children, they don't know telephone numbers. And if all of the cell phones aren't working in an area, they wouldn't have the flight.
I thought we had it, but we don't. But go ahead. Brothers and sisters, please put yourself on mute if you're not speaking, because we can hear your noise in the background. And I have the mics open so everybody can have the convenience of speaking. So I really don't want to cut you off, because we want participation. But we can't have the noise in the background, because it's interfering with our speakers. So please, please, the noise in the background, or put yourself on mute until you're ready to speak. Thanks so much. Go right ahead, Sister Aisha.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What we are finding now with our school children is that our fifth, sixth graders, many of them do not know their complete home address. They have it in their phone. Some of them have cell phones, and it's in their phone. But if the cables and the lines, everything are down, they don't have access to their cell phone. And some of them have no idea how to get home. And I think that this is a travesty. It says that we as parents, we have turned everything over to technology to educate our children. So if you are a parent listening tonight, make sure your child knows their address, their home address. Make sure that they know the last name of their grandparents and where their grandparents or their cousins or their uncles and uncles live, the name of the street, the part of town. Our children do not know these basic things. So if they are stranded in the school, or if the school has to release all the children and there are no buses, or you are not standing there waiting to pick them up, they really, many of them don't know what to tell you when you ask them, where do you live? And that's heartbreaking. It's sad when I see this taking place. So, and make sure that they have memorized telephone numbers. Even telephone numbers of a relative out of state. And this is some of the information that we bring to your attention when you sit down and make a family plan. And I'll say this one last point. We recognize that in the schools, the young people are experiencing a lot of anxiety. Anxiety is perpetrated from fear. Fear and anxiety put together causes psychosis. Mass psychosis is decreasing in our society, and this is nothing but mental illness. Our young people are afraid. They hear about natural disaster in the schools. But however, at home, the parents and the caretakers are not talking about natural disaster. So they continue to live with this fear, and they don't know how to express it. So it comes out as anxiety, and it comes out as young people having a lot of emotional issues. And this is on an increase, and we see it every day. So I say to you all parents, you're going to have to sit down and talk to these young people about climate change. And you're going to have a family plan that they can participate in with you, and they know the information that they need to know. So we will continue to talk about these issues with climate change, and we will start back the training process very shortly.
Okay.
So we'll get back with you, and we will also hopefully have additional information for you next week. There are some things taking place as far as climate change that's changing the scenario, and we are constantly having to change our format with climate change because things are changing so quickly. But we want you all to know next week what region of the country you live in.
Yes.
And we'll talk about this. You're going to have to know this because it's not good enough to just say I live in Delaware. You need to know what region of the country Delaware is identified as. So we'll talk about these things next week, inshallah.
Thanks so much, Sister Aisha.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're coming up to the last few moments of the show, and we want to, first of all, let you know, brothers and sisters, we need your memberships. We need your memberships to continue to pay the cost of being on this radio show. And so again, navassc@gmail.com is how you can send in your memberships, and you send the memberships in through Cash Out. You can send them in through Zelle, PayPal, or if you want to send us a check, our mailing address is Box 213, Clinton, Maryland, 20735. Again, mailing address is 213, P.O. Box 213, Clinton, Maryland, 20735. And you can reach us at 301-234-9090. And also, brothers and sisters, the business plan and our directors, I hope we can have that business plan put together by next week, because if that coalition of business of farmers come back on next week, it would be nice if we had a business plan to present to them. So thanks so very much for your time. And until next week, we'll be right back with Africa Business Association, and we'll be back with continuing information on our black farmers and the economical situations of our black community. Until then, thanks so much, and I will say good evening.
We'll be right back.